Welcome to Illinois Family Spotlight, a conversation about faith, family, freedom, the state of Illinois, our nation, and conservative action. Here's David Smith and Monty Larrick.
Thanks for making Illinois Family Spotlight part of your day. I'm Monty Larrick, and this is David Smith, Executive Director of the Illinois Family Institute and Illinois Family Action. Before we begin, get a piece of paper and a pen ready to jot down some information and some phone numbers we'll be giving. Governor Bruce Rauner recently announced that he will veto House Bill 40 if it reaches his desk. The legislation, if enacted, would use Illinois taxpayer dollars to fund in-reason abortions through all 9 months of pregnancy. Please take a moment to let the governor know that you appreciate his position on House Bill 40 and encourage him to follow through with his veto of this anti-life measure if it is approved by the General Assembly. Send him a message by visiting illinoisfamily.org. You can also call the governor's office in Springfield. The number is 217-782-0244. Or in Chicago, 312-814-2121. But despite the threat of a veto, pro-abortion state lawmakers are still trying to win passage of House Bill 40. Call and ask your state lawmakers to vote no on House Bill 40. The state capitol switchboard number is 217-782-2000. For lawmaker information, click Officials Finder on the IllinoisFamily.org homepage. Here to talk about House Bill 40 and other matters before the General Assembly are Dave Smith and Ralph Rivera. Mr. Rivera is with Illinois Citizens for Life. He's also a lobbyist in Springfield for IFI. And Dave?
Yes, sir.
Some advice for our listeners.
All right. So a disclaimer at the beginning of this podcast. You are going to want to get yourself a pen and paper. We're going to be going through a number of bills that are pending in Springfield. So there's going to be House bill number. There's going to be Senate bill number. You're going to want to write them down. Secondly, you want to know who your lawmakers are. If you don't know who your state representative is, or your state senator, or your congressman, you can go to our website, illinoisfamily.org, click on the Official Finders button, which is on the right side. It's a gray rectangle box in the right margin. And you click on there, you put in your zip code, and then it'll ask you for your address, because we need your specific address to find out who your state lawmakers are for that area. You'll get a whole list of your federal officials as well as your state officials. You'll want to know who your state lawmakers are, your state representatives especially, because this is where the battle rages the hottest in Springfield.
Okay. Well, we have a special guest. He's Ralph Rivera. Mr. Rivera is a lobbyist for the Illinois Family Institute.
And a good friend of ours.
And he meets with state lawmakers, and he's also one of the leaders of Illinois Citizens for Life.
Pro-life hero he is.
Yes, he is. And Ralph, one of the bills being considered by state lawmakers is House Bill 40.
This is the number one priority for us in Springfield.
Right. And not only would this force taxpayers to fund any reason abortions, but it would essentially remove legal protections for the unborn. What's the status of House Bill 40?
House Bill 40 is on the House floor on third reading. It is waiting, the sponsor waits until she has enough votes to pass it.
And this is sponsored by Representative Sarah Feigenholtz, a Democrat from the north side of the city of Chicago.
Right.
So what's that mean, third reading?
Third reading is final passage stage for a bill. So it's in that posture on the House calendar.
So it's on the starting blocks. As soon as the sponsor wants to call it for a vote, she's able to do it.
That's correct. And now, there was a similar bill to this for the past 2 years of the old two-year General Assembly just passed, 99th General Assembly. We're in the 100th. She did not call that bill because she did not have the votes. And that's the way they operate. If they don't have the votes, they won't call the bill.
Well, let's clarify that. The votes meaning they need 60 yay votes to pass it out of the House.
That's correct.
So if they don't have 60, they're not going to call it because it could die, right?
It's just the way they are. That, you know, sometimes legislators call a bill to see where the votes are. Maybe they're 3, 4, 5 votes short. they put it on what's called postponed consideration. That gives them another try at the vote. But they don't do that with these kind of bills.
Why?
Maybe the speaker says, look, I'm not going to string the members out unless you can show me you have 60 votes. Because if they have 55, then why have a roll call on that where the members are now highlighted, where they're voting on this? So that's generally the nature. For whatever reason, they feel like this would be a huge defeat if they called a bill and it missed by 4 or 5 votes.
So wouldn't it also be reasonable to think that they don't want to call this bill until they're certain it's going to pass, because it might actually scare some of the on-the-fence lawmakers away altogether? If it, for example, if it only got 53 votes, some of these on-the-fence guys might say, whoa, this is terribly unpopular. I'm not jumping on board.
Oh, that's right. There are a number of legislators who, in addition to being short the votes that they are now, there are a number who are undecided.
Right.
And so they're not sure how that's going to happen. So if they remain short the votes when the roll call comes up, you see a number of undecideds, they've held off to see what's going on.
And I like,
so that number could go low.
And I like what you normally say, Ralph, is if a lawmaker is undecided, we can't count them in the no kick column.
Right.
But the other side can't count them in the yes either.
That's correct. And so it's important. And so they don't have the votes at this point, but they're working it, we're working it. They don't have the votes. And additionally, there are a number of undecideds that they cannot count on either. We can't, but they can't.
Well, on such a controversial bill as this, do the lawmakers, the Democratic lawmakers essentially here, do they listen to their voters or do they just listen to Michael Madigan?
No, they listen to the voters.
Yes.
You know, the speaker could do what he can do, but generally he leaves this alone because he wants legislators to vote their districts in issues like this. So while the speaker would give extended deadlines for this bill, because this bill, similar bill, went for 2 years, it remained alive. So the speaker allowed that to happen. Generally he would want his members to vote as they think the district would want. So
there's no backlash in the next election.
That's,
in the House, it's every 2 years.
That's right.
So
and politically, there's a battle that, you know, the number one thing for the speaker is to remain speaker. Well, you have to have a majority of Democrats.
That's right.
And in the last election, there was a net loss of 4 Democrats.
Right.
So now they're below the 3/5 they had, and there can be that fear that they could lose more.
That's right.
And
well, what's the upside for these politicians to vote for this? They could say to their constituencies, "I help keep Roe versus Wade in place in Illinois." Isn't that one of the big selling points here?
Yes. Let me explain that. There is, different than the bill 2 years ago, they've added something. They are removing language from the preamble to the Illinois Abortion Law of 1975. And that preamble has 2 main things. One, it says that if the Supreme Court ever reversed or modified its decision. They don't mention Roe v. Wade in the preamble, but that's what they're talking about. It says the old policy goes back where we banned abortions. And so that's called a trigger, and they would remove that trigger.
And they're responding to Donald Trump's election and the fact that Donald Trump just swore in a new Supreme Court Justice, Neil Gorsuch, who is going to be pro-life. And they're afraid that a couple more Supreme Court justices may be appointed, and Roe v. Wade and Doe v. Bolton are going to be,
at least drastically altered?
Well,
overturned.
It could
be
overturned.
The word is overturned. That's what I was looking for.
You know, we're going beyond, maybe more in depth here, but that's the way they're selling this
right.
bill now.
And we can talk more about that in April 25th, what's coming up. But let's get to the nuts and bolts of House Bill 40 real quick. We suspect, or we project, that if this bill goes into law, that taxpayers will be funding between 10,000 to 15,000 additional abortions every single year in Illinois, right?
That's correct.
That's on top of the 40,000 that's already done in Illinois.
Right. You could see a 37% increase in abortions, all new, so, all paid for by state funds, no federal funds.
No federal funds, yep.
This is all state funds.
So pro-life listeners, you have to take action on this. I don't care how good your guy is or your state representative is. You need to call and affirm them and encourage them to vote no to House Bill 40. The phone number to Springfield, or the Capitol, 217-782-2000. Okay, this is just one of many. We've got others,
right.
And we better start talking about those because we're going to run out of time here.
Well, speaking about House Bill 40, I spoke with State Representative Peter Breen just a while back, and he told me that really this is going to have a $30 million impact on the state budget every year.
Wow.
$30 million, because he's figuring that it'll be an increase of 15,000 taxpayer-funded abortions every year at $500 apiece at least, and we're talking $30 million a year. Maybe my Common Core math is not here.
that's on the extreme side. So we should say somewhere between $10 million and $30 million.
That's correct. I think when we do these figures, when we see the the listeners have to understand that we are talking about people who are on Medicaid. This is the public assistance medical program. It is that program that the state would pay for abortions throughout the full 9 months of pregnancy. And Medicaid has grown exponentially in the past 5 years. So there are a lot of women on Medicaid.
Let's keep this in perspective, too. The dollar amounts we're talking about, Illinois state government is already spending $11 million more a day than it's taking in. $11 million. So let's add another program that we'll have to pay for, which actually kills unborn life.
Right.
Disgusting.
Wow. All right. This is Ralph Rivera with Illinois Citizens for Life and a lobbyist for Illinois Family Institute. We'll continue our conversation and talk about some other bills now before the General Assembly right after this.
Hi, this is Kurt Jarrus, the host of Veracity Hill. Veracity Hill is a radio podcast dedicated to striving for truth on faith, politics, and society. I don't have all the answers, but join me as I explore important topics with guests from respective fields. To learn more, text the word VERACITY to 555-888. That's VERACITY to the number 555-888, or check out our website at veracityhill.com.
Join the Illinois Family Institute for a special forum, Climate Change and the Christian, with Dr. Calvin Beissner in Rockford, Arlington Heights, Orland Park, and Peoria.
The green movement threatens to trap the poor in poverty and rob people of property rights by touting false or exaggerated claims of eco-disaster.
Dr. Calvin Beissner is the founder of the Cornwall Alliance for the Stewardship of Creation. You don't want to miss his presentation on climate change and the Christian. What's true? What's not settled science? And what's our responsibility?
Now, it's true that if you love God, you will try to take good care of the earth. And I encourage you to do exactly that. But that's not gospel. That's law.
The Illinois Family Institute Climate Change and the Christian Forum is free. So bring your family and friends. Visit IllinoisFamily.org for times, dates, and locations. Or call 708-781-9328. This is Illinois Family Spotlight. I'm Monty Larrick. David Smith and I are joined by Ralph Rivera with Illinois Citizens for Life. And Ralph is also a lobbyist in Springfield for Illinois Family Institute. Kind of important date coming up here, Dave.
Well, yes, the lawmakers actually just got back from their two-week spring break, and they're going to be working hard and fast and furious, wouldn't you say, over the next 6 weeks? Ralph's giving me a dubious look here. Well, you know, there's a sense of urgency, but maybe they're not moving anywhere. But anyway, they need to establish a budget before the end of May by law, but they haven't done that in years. And so, but doesn't mean they're not going to try, right?
Right.
And so over the next 6 weeks, it's going to be very important that we, pro-life, pro-family folks and voters, keep the pressure on our state lawmakers. So, again, the phone number to the switchboard is 217-782-2000. You want to call your lawmakers about all these bills that we're going to talk about.
Ralph, we discussed House Bill 40, taxpayer funding of abortions, but there's another dangerous anti-life bill out there. It is House Bill 3735. Why is this measure so dangerous to the pro-life cause?
Well, one of the reasons is that it may affect pro-life speech and find that criminal behavior, and that's the great concern we have. This gets a little bit complicated, but what this does is say that it becomes an aggravating factor if you commit certain crimes at an abortion clinic, different than a shopping mall or a hospital or some, a place of business. So they're honing in on abortion clinics where there are pro-life protesters, there's dialogue, there's, you know, there's maybe going back and forth. There are words that are said. But they've added intimidation in this. Now, intimidation can be threats, but it also can be speech. There's one part of intimidation in the code, in the criminal code, that says if you expose a person to hatred, contempt, or ridicule. So what does that mean? Does a person holding an aborted baby sign can be considered contempt or ridicule? That would be a crime. Or what if there's a back and forth conversations, which it, and someone says something about don't kill your baby or
that's
don't
right.
do this.
That's right.
Does that rise to the level of a crime? Well, we know people in the pro-abortion group.
Or does that rise to the level of intimidation?
That's correct.
And could somebody conceivably say, I feel intimidated because these people are praying outside this clinic?
Yeah, I think so. I think they're stretching
right.
it here, but they're happy to stretch it. See, I mean, we look at this and say—
And too many courts would go along with that. Too many judges would go along with that. It's not definitely on our side. So what this bill does, by the way, sponsored by Representative Deb Conroy, a Democrat from Villa Park, it actually creates a censorship zone around the abortion clinic, does it not?
That's a good way to describe that. So that speech, again, when you're talking about threats or violence or something like that, we're not in support of that. We don't argue
Absolutely not.
But they're specifically adding intimidation, and one of those factors is speech, and that's why this is so important.
Well, you know, a lot of these abortion clinics have, well, in Chicago, a bubble zone. So are they thinking, well, the courts might strike this down, so let's go a different direction here and use this legislation to keep the pro-lifers away from these abortion clinics?
Yes, and you see that with all of this type of legislation. It's meant to have a chilling effect on whatever pro-life is doing, whether it's counseling or protesting or just being there praying.
Okay, and that's House Bill 3735. You want to urge your state lawmakers to vote no on that bill.
House
what else
bill.
Do we have?
Well, we have, once again, a bill that talks about birth certificates. And, you know, this sounds crazy, but it would allow someone to say, you know, I no longer feel like a male or a female, and I want to go and have my birth certificate changed according to how I feel.
This is House Bill 1785, sponsored by Representative Greg Harris, a Democrat from Chicago. And why is he doing this, Ralph?
He says a different. He said, "I'm just modernizing the law or bringing that up to date with birth certificates." But I testified in committee that this is a huge change here. So understand the current.
And you got some flack for that.
Well, and that's all right, you know. And I and
Right, Representative Kelly Cassidy, who's an open lesbian and activist in the state, in the General Assembly, didn't like your mistruths.
So Ralph, that was a hatred, which by the way, goes to the whole concern of speech.
That's right, absolutely, intimidation.
Was my speech hateful? No, it wasn't. I was presenting the argument. But understand the current situation for changing your birth certificate without going to court. Since the late 60s, if you had a so-called operation, a sex change operation, then a doctor could sign a declaration and your birth certificate could be changed on the basis of gender. Now, that doesn't change somebody, but that's the way it's been in the late 60s. They want to now make it very easy. You don't have to have any kind of operation. You can have some treatment that a medical professional can declare you've changed from a man to a woman, and that could be just hormone injections, which is not permanent,
right.
So they can do that. Or now they've added a mental health professional. So if someone goes to a psychologist and he says, you know what, I think I'm a woman, I'm a guy, but I think I'm a woman, that person, and it doesn't say how long this counseling goes on, could be 2 weeks, could be 1 week, could be a year, doesn't say that. Mental health counselor can declare that this person is now a woman.
You know, I can't get out of my head the picture of Klinger from MASH. Do you remember Klinger?
Yeah,
right.
That's
Corporal
right.
Klinger.
Right? Corporal Klinger. But here's what the problem is with this bill. I think a major part of our concern is that when you go back and change a historical document like that, you can legally then have a reason for being in the opposite sex bathroom, or locker room. For example, if you went into a church bathroom that was a confused guy went into the women's washroom, and they call the police, they try to arrest the guy. The guy says, sorry, here's my birth certificate. I'm a girl.
Well, you could see that with employers, with schools, when a person says, this is an official government document. And it says, this person is now a woman. And he says, therefore, I have a legal right to be in the shower room or the changing room or the bathroom. This is huge. This is really changing the
well, think
what
about what this
seeing.
Could do to, let's say, high school and college sports programs.
Oh, absolutely. And what about law enforcement? You know, a criminal leaves behind some DNA, and they know that they're looking for a man, but they can't do a database search and come up with a possible suspect because, well, the birth certificate's been changed.
Right. Well, keep in mind, you're reading about this situation going on around the country.
Yeah.
But it's not under this legality.
Right.
And this makes it legal and the power of government. And that's why.
And it's complicit in fraud. I mean, the government would be getting behind with its authority saying, yes, we affirm this lie.
Now, is it true? Maybe I should have read up on this, that, you know, passports already reflect this.
Yes.
And even our Illinois driver's licenses.
Yes, but understand Obama's executive order on passports doesn't make it.
But that can be overturned
right.
by another administration,
absolutely.
Maybe Trump will get to it eventually.
So Representative Harris is saying, well, we just want to modernize it, bring it up in line with passports, which was done illegally with his executive orders. So why should we do something that was done illegally and not by the members of the General Assembly or the Congress? That these are the concerns that we have.
Right. So this bill, House Bill 1785, is on our top three of concerns.
Right.
Where is it now in the General Assembly? How close are they to being able to get the 60 votes to pass this bill?
Well, it also is on the House floor, on the House calendar, on third reading, final passage.
So it can go anytime now.
Can go anytime if he has the votes, and at this point he does not.
Okay.
So, but when I say this, I hope the listener is saying, boy, good.
Yeah.
No, they're working it constantly.
And there are too many, we're not going to identify who they are, but there are too many who are undecided. And so calls are vital to your state lawmaker, both Republican and Democrat. You need to call and encourage them to vote to uphold the historical document as is, the birth certificate.
Vote 217-782-2000.
Say that again.
Vote to uphold sanity.
Uphold sanity. Absolutely. All right. So listen, we're running down on time here, and I just want to address a couple more things. In Springfield, we're also concerned about Senate Bill 7, which would expand gambling yet again in the state of Illinois with 5 additional land-based casinos, including in Chicago. And then there's another bill that's not going to come up for a vote this year, but it might come up next year. It's Kelly Cassidy's bill to legalize marijuana. These are things that are on our radar screen that are very concerning. Gambling exploits the poorest among us. In Chicago, we would be we would see devastated families from this. Marijuana will also intoxicate a whole bunch of people in the state of Illinois and send the wrong message to our youth. We're already sending the message that, hey, marijuana is medicine. This will be commercialized and promoted to our kids as just a nice way to get relaxed and take it easy, just like alcohol.
Nice
and
way it's to not recreate.
And it's not alcohol. So anyway, I just wanted to throw those two at you before we close out this program. Senate Bill 7 is another bill that we're asking folks to call and say, no more gambling. And then stay tuned on this Kelly Cassidy bill to legalize marijuana.
Well, we are way out of time, but we had a lot to discuss, and I hope you wrote down those bill numbers. And Ralph Ribeiro, thank you so much for being here. If folks would like to connect with you, what should they do?
They can contact us at contactus@illinoisfamily.org. Okay.
To your attention, and we'll make sure that message gets to Ralph, I just real quick, knows the process in Springfield better than anybody else I know. Well, I don't know Madigan, so I'm not going to say that you know it better than Madigan.
No.
But anyway, thanks, Ralph, for your service in Springfield.
Thank you very much.
All the best, and until next time, God bless.
Thank you for listening to Illinois Family Spotlight. For more information, please visit us at ifiaction.org and look for us on Facebook and Twitter. If you would like to email us questions or comments, please do so at feedback@ifiaction.org. Until next time, stay engaged and keep your eyes on the prize.